Accelerate the empowering process that is developing within. This is Instant Illumination, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. With Instant Illumination, I accelerate the empowering process that is developing within. Within all of us is the power to accomplish great and wonderful things. Within all of us is the power to be the genius that we are. But we relegate that genius to somebody else. We relegate that genius to everything except ourselves. And we say we're not really responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for what we do and what we say and what we are, and we're not responsible. And of course, that's taking the relegation and handing it off to something else. Now, what is it to be that? To accelerate the empowering process that is developing within me. Within each of us is a process of growing up, of maturing. And unfortunately, it's a backward process. If it had been a forward process, we would have grown young. But it's a backward process. We're growing up and we're growing old, and we're growing with infirmities, we're growing with limitations, we're growing with all the the attitudes that age brings. And we say, well, a child, my goodness, they got limitless energy. They can run and play and run and play and run and play. And when they're tired, they just drop and sleep for a few minutes, and then they get up and run and play again. Energy to bear, energy to burn, my goodness, but how wonderful. And then little children, I know it. I know everything. I know everything. And we discourage them from saying that. We tell them, you don't know everything. There's a lot for you to learn. A lot. And they say, I know that. I know that. I know all these things. I don't need anything more. I know everything. And they say, what is the purpose of life? To be themselves and have fun. To be themselves and have fun, to play. Now, we have our title here, and we say, I accelerate the empowering process that is developing within. Well, now, the empowering process that is developing within is the returning home, the returning to our original purity and integrity. Are we ready now to return to our original purity and integrity? That's the developing process within. If we're willing to return to our original purity and integrity, the first thing we do is to give up responsibility. First thing we do is to give up thinking that we have to tell somebody else how to live their life, that we have to tell other people what is right and what's wrong, that we have to tell other people who we are. And we don't have to tell anybody anything. All we have to do is just be ourselves and have fun. When we're being ourselves and having fun, if somebody knows it, good. If nobody knows it, good. We don't care. You see, that's what a child does. And you say, well, Herb, we can't become children. We can't be. Jesus said, become like little children. And I guess he's a goofball, wasn't he? He didn't know what he was talking about. What does it mean to become like little children? To have that innocence about us. To have that gentleness about us, that genuineness about us. To be the most beautiful, wonderful beings on the face of the earth. And that's what we are. Now, can you handle that? Can you handle such a thing? And the answer is no. You can't handle that because you think that you can't. And as long as you think that you can't, then you can't. Now, when are you going to do something about it? Rex is telling us that he's going to do something about it right now. That he's big enough that he's done growing and he wants to stay a little child. He's like, not Tinkerbell, but Peter Pan, who says, I don't want to grow up. I want to stay and be the young person that I always am and that I always will be. And why does he want to be that way? Because what is the duty of a child? The duty of a child is to play and have fun and be entertained and go places and do things and just have lots of good times. That's what a child's business in life is all about. Now, what's your business in life? Well, my business is like, I have to make a living, and I have to, you know, buy clothes, and I have to buy a house. I have to take care of my family. I have to get married, and I have to do this and do that. That's what you say. Now, a lot of people are aware that they don't have to do that, and they don't get married. And so what? They don't have children. So what? And they're just out having fun all the time. They're going to parties. They're being entertained and entertaining. And they're working because they enjoy it. And the work, they don't have to worry that they're earning enough money to pay the bills, because they don't need to have that many bills. If they don't earn so much money, they have less bills. And they have less, what would you say, luxuries. That's all. They don't mind. And they live perfectly happy, perfectly harmonious. I'm not suggesting that we remain single. I'm not suggesting that we marry either. All I'm suggesting is that we remain young at heart. We remain young in our consciousness. We remain young. My associate, she was telling me about her son. And he's in the process of getting divorced. And so in the process of getting divorced, he's getting to know his son. Because his wife wants his son, and so he wants his son too. And they both want the son, and they both want to give the son quality time. And he's been spending more and more time with his son instead of doing nothing or reading newspapers or watching TV and like that in the evening. Now he's spending the evenings with his son. And he says, you know, it's the most wonderful thing in my life. He said, I wouldn't give this up for anything. I never realize how wonderful it is. And if anybody wants to be in my world, and he was meaning his girlfriends and other people like that, but if anybody wants to be in my world, they have to enjoy my son like I do. They have to appreciate what I appreciate, because I'm number one. My goodness, he wouldn't have said that just a short time ago, but now he's coming to the realization that, hey, the only thing to do in life is to have fun. The only thing to do in life is to enjoy yourself. That doesn't mean you don't do the things you promise to do, that you don't earn a living and other things, but hey, that's not your primary goal. Isn't it wonderful, these people who live to be ancient age and lots of money, and their family grew up without them because they were so busy during their family's growing up years, they didn't have time to spend with the family. They were so busy during their family's getting important years and so forth that I had to work for it, so you have to work for it. Well, the hell with it, you know. If you're having fun, just say, hey, kids, let me teach you how to spend money and how to save money and how to do things. Here's $100,000. Now, here's what I recommend you do. And now, you do anything you want, but this is what I recommend. If you will take part of it and invest it, you'll get good returns and you'll have that to play with. And if you do this and that, and then, so take $50,000 and blow it. Just have a ball, you know. But take the other $50,000 and let it work for you, you know. And so, who teaches their kids that? Well, nobody. Nobody says, hey, here's $100. No, you take $50 of that and you let it grow for you, put it in the bank or something, and take the other $50 and just go out and have a ball. Just go do stupid things with it. Go do nothings with it, you know. Go buy 100 roses for your girlfriend or something like that, you know. And just load her apartment with roses, 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 roses. And she'll think, you are crazy. And I love it, you know. You see, have fun. Do silly, stupid things. And life is filled with that. There was a woman, she called and she said that her daughter had died. And her daughter was a lovely, wonderful lady who was always happy and thoroughly enjoyed her life. And the lady says, now I'm mourning for my daughter because she's gone and I enjoyed her company so much. She's such a beautiful girl. And so Ellen said to her, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to start enjoying life just like your daughter did. Your daughter was a good teacher to you, a good example to you. Now, you go out and enjoy life too. And she's gone. She chose to go to her next dimension and go on with her interesting whirligig of lives and all dimensions at the same time. But she just chose to do that, and we don't understand it because we don't remember one dimension to the other, that we're in these infinite number of dimensions. But just let her go. And bless her, love her, release her, and you get on with your life. Start having fun. Start going to parties. But my daughter just said, start going to parties. Do it for your daughter, because that's what she would do if she were here. Your daughter would be just having a ball. Your daughter would be loving herself. Your daughter would be doing what made her happy. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about anybody thinking that she's irresponsible and that she's just a party girl. Hey, cool, you know? A party girl does not mean you're a naughty girl. It just means you're a happy girl. You're a party-time girl. Let's party. We do everything here at the monastery to have a party. We even have unbirthday parties. And we have parties for our dogs. We've never had parties for our cats, have we?
No.
We got three cats, and we never had a party for one. And I think that is pretty, pretty cold. And I think that would be quite a trick if we got the cats to come in here and have a party with us. And especially if the dogs were here. The cats would be on the ceiling and the dogs would be on the floor. But whatever. But it's fun. It's fun. But the thing is, life is meant to be yourself and have fun. I have said this a million times. Be yourself and have fun. Be yourself and have fun. And this is what every great teacher teaches. Now, the great teachers of Khalil Gibran. Khalil Gibran was a beautiful, sensitive, caring guy who had a nice way with words. And he was very deep on the surface, easily to understand, easily to go with. And then there are other people like Louis L'Amour, a great philosopher and a great man, a great mind. And he was just always enjoying life to its fullest. And he was a fantastic guy. And he lived his life to the very end, enjoying every moment and riding his silly head off. He had stories inside him. He had to get out. And so he sat at his typewriter and pounded them out. And he just loved it. Every moment he spent at the typewriter was meaning that these people were coming alive on paper. And they were going to be shared with all the other people who never knew them. Like the woman in the show, Love Gently or something or other. What did she say to the little girl? The little girl was reading her book. And in reading the book, the little girl says, "I don't have to learn how to read." And the lady said to her, "Well, you know, I have lots of books. And I love these books because these books take me into other lands. They let me take great adventures while I stay right here at home. But in my mind, I can go and become a fairy princess, and I can become a wonderful princess in the tower and have some handsome man come up to take me away from being captive in the tower. And I can do all these things." And you see, that's what it is. That's what being yourself and having fun is. Yeah, if you can write the books, you're thinking them first in your heart. And how many books has Louis L'Amour had in his mind and his heart that he never had the time to put down, because it just takes time. Now, Louis L'Amour is a little bit advanced, and that is, he's living before he should have. He should have lived, let's say, 2,000 years from now, because at the year 2,000 years from now, we will go to a machine and we will think our book into the machine, and pop, pop, it's done. Printed, typeset, pictures, everything else, all perfectly done, you know. But every thought, every idea, every character we have is in there. We're doing the wonderful things, but, you know, so quickly it is put in there, and the book is out. Now, perhaps nobody will ever read it because everybody's putting out books. But you got it out. You got the book out. You get the thoughts out, and then you can go on with other thoughts, and you can have them piled up in your study with, you know, 1,000 books in there. I wrote them all. Well, have you ever published them? Yeah, I put them out, but how many people read them? Who knows? Who cares? I did it for myself. I got the books out. I got them all done, and I'm having fun being myself. You see, we have to reveal ourselves. We have to reveal that inner self, that inner child, that inner wisdom that we are, and just let go. And stop trying to pretend that we have to search for something that is elusive, search for something that's mystical, and something that is just really not easily gotten to. We have to start realizing that being ourselves and having fun is very easy to do. We just have to do it. And we have to not worry about what other people think of us, because we're doing what we do. We're doing what turns us on. Now, How many people do you know that love to have a little picket fence house around in the countryside, just outside the city, and have a little garden there and lots of flowers? You don't hear them talking about vegetables much, but having a little flower garden all around the house and sitting on the front porch and watching the people go by and say, howdy, neighbor, and howdy, friend, and what have you like this. Now, do you ever hear them washing their clothes? Do you ever hear them cleaning the house? Do you ever hear, there's probably not even a house behind that facade, which is just a facade, you know. And do they ever go inside? No. Does the day ever end? No. Is it always sunny? Yes. Is it always a charming, lovely, beautiful day? Yes. Are people always going by in front of their house whom they know and they say howdy to and so forth? Yes. Is there a never-ending stream? Are they on a little turn circle that they go by? And maybe every 30 minutes somebody goes by, oh, hello, Mabel. Oh, hello, John. You know, and you're saying that to them? You see, you say, well, Herb, that's silly. But no, we could do that. We could do that. Now, we could be more realistic than that. We could have the whole house there. And in the house, we could have a maid taking care of everything, you know. Why not, you know? Mm-hmm. Create what you want. And we could also have not a butler necessarily, but a handyman who does everything and who also goes and does the shopping so that can make the meals for us. And so I can sit on the front porch and do nothing but say hi to my friends that are going by in the eternal daylight, you know? And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But you see, as silly as that sounds, that is what many people have as an idea in their consciousness. A totally irrational, unreasonable, unthinkable concept, but yet it's what they have. And that's great. Now, do people ever put into their daydreams, into their wish thinking, going to the toilet and taking a shower? Or do they ever put into their wish thinking taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon? Or do they ever put in their wish thinking of wearing different clothing? They always got the clothes of whatever they want to have. They always got the garden. The flowers are always blooming. They're never going to bloom, and they're never done blooming. And they're never being watered. They're always properly moist. And the gardener has nothing to do because everything stays in perfect shape. But he's there. And the maid is there, but there's no dust because the house is not created to have dust in it. And you could go on and on. These sound like ludicrous things, but that's what life is. Life is a dream of these things, and that's where our consciousness is. Now, when our consciousness becomes aware of the outer world around us, the world, we say, that which is real, the world where there are troubles and where there are problems and where there are unhappiness and where there are illnesses and limitations and poverty. And hey, who needs that world? Who needs that world? Why create that world as a reality in your world? Why don't you create this world of illusion? One was illusion and the other's illusion too. Why not create a world of illusion of the most magical way? Why not? Why not? Why do people love Peter Pan? Why do people love fairy tales? Why do people love to sing of my love went away and took the car that day, you know, and left me to pay? And what the hey? But you see, it's silly. It's silly. But and the cowboy songs and the old the country songs, you know, they're all rather sad. They're like the Negro spirituals, you know, where nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And then they say, glory, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And that's right. And you don't even need to know the trouble you've seen. You don't need to know it. Because when these black people would come home from working in the cotton field as they were slaves, they would go to their little houses and they would eat or do whatever they did, and they would sit with their children and maybe do nothing, and then in the morning they had to get up and go work in the fields again. And hey, they could have their magic time after they came home. When it got dark and they couldn't see to pick cotton anymore, then they came home, and then they would be with their family for the evening hours and the dark hours. And what could they do? They could have magic time. And they did. Uncle Remus told all sorts of tales of what happens in the magic time. And these are the things that are the reality. What's the stories that remain with us from the time of slavery? It's the Uncle Remus stories. It's the stories of the magic time, not the stories of the tragedy and the unhappiness that was going on, because that went on everywhere to one degree or another. And if we lay our mind to that and recall that, if we lay our mind to that and recall that, hey, why don't we call the beautiful things? And why do we even have to experience those negative things? Why do we even have to experience it? We have a lovely lady who has been through the Holocaust, and she felt she had to tell the world about the Holocaust so that the world would know. And bless her heart, that's a very noble thing to do. But she's living in the past. She's not living today. She's in America with her family, and she's been here for 40 years, and yet she's still playing the game of the past. And she goes there with such nobility, saying, this is what happened to us and how terrible it was, you know, and things like that. Well, yes, that's true. That's true. But why reinvent the past? Why nobilize the past by bringing it up again and again? People who are touched by it, they're of no account to you. People who are untouched by it, they're of no account to you. What's the only thing that's an account to you is what you are doing now. Live in the now, the only time you have to live. And when you bring up the back, the history, the past, when you bring that up in the now, you're wasting your time. The now should be filled with the fairy tales and the wonder tales. It should be filled with the happiness and the joy. Return to our original purity and integrity. And what kind of things happen in your original purity and integrity? Negative stuff? No way. In your original purity and integrity, there's only the positive, the joyous, the beautiful, the happy, the uplifting. There's only that which makes life worth living. That's all. That's all. Ellen tells me in the current gist, which nobody's going to receive, that there are stories in there about the Easter, that is the Christmas seminar that I'm going to be giving. And it's called...
The Seven Gifts. The story of Jesus.
That's the God's pocket.
Serendipity.
Serendipity? Oh, yeah. Okay, serendipity. The story of Jesus. And if any of you are interested, here's what it says. Many people ask me if the foundation of the Church of God Unlimited and the University of Healing are based on the Christian tradition. I say no. We are not a Christian church. We believe in the teachings of Christ. We do not take part in the divisiveness of the organizations causing disunity and dissension among all of those who aspire to learn from the Master Teacher and that call themselves churches based on an exclusive interpretation of the Bible and the words of Jesus the Christ. I believe Jesus taught a God of love, and his message was to bind together all mankind in their divinity. The story of Jesus is the title of my six-day campus retreat with 18 45-minute lectures. My annual Christmas seminars are open to the public and naturally to all of my students and friends of the uni. On-campus facilities include living quarters for some 20 people or better, depending upon the specific needs of our guests. The story of Jesus begins with the story of Jesus the man. All of the illustrations come directly from the Bible and are seen in the light of the 21st century. The idioms and the concepts are shared from the Lamza Bible translation, wherein this edition comes directly out of his Aramaic lifestyle. I will then go into what the life of Jesus teaches humanity of his divinity. We'll study how Jesus' youth demonstrates his recognition of his calling and as a spiritual sharer and master. We'll delve into the role of John the Baptist played what it played in the life of Jesus. The question of whether Jesus traveled and studied in the rabbinical schools has always been one which has caused concern among scholars who have a tilt on this. We have a tilt on this that'll make it relatively clear and obvious. Many questions whether Jesus studied in other lands as Egypt, India, China, or even America will lay to rest the quandaries and give validity to a new reality. The Sermon on the Mount was a radical movement away from what the rabbinical tradition taught to the Hebraic followers. Why did Jesus move in this direction when he knew it would cause the other rabbis to be uptight with him? Truly a remarkable Sermon on the Mount was heard by all near and far. The status of Jesus with his peers and fellow rabbis was unique and very telling of his message and mission. This very condition gave him the confidence and ability to call men to be his disciples. He called those from the educational class as well as those from the non-professional skills. Each had a very responsible role in his teaching. Many ask where the wisdom of Jesus came from. The answer is definite. Was Jesus ever angry or touched by the world about him? Smile. Remember, he is a consummate actor, complete in every detail, skilled, utterly perfect. The benefit of the cross experience in Jesus' life seems to be misunderstood by all who have read it and those who were present at that time. Is this one of the reasons his teachings have come down to us through the ages, or is there a deeper meaning? How were the books of the Bible brought together, and does it matter? Smile. Theologians, but not metaphysicians, wonder why the Bible is interpreted so broadly and so imaginatively, creating many religions all claiming Jesus as their source. The impact of the teachings of Jesus, of "it is done unto you according to your belief," stand as a monumental statement latched onto by every great philosopher. Then he follows it up with, "Be ye perfect, even as God is perfect," enough to blow the minds of every religious thinker. Jesus' concluding words could be paraphrased as, "I am off to another adventure. Let the Comforter come to you all." The 6-day seminar with its 18 lectures will be an adventure into listening to the divine within myself and ourselves as I share my thoughts on this amazing experience. Over the years, I have taught Bible classes and I have given lectures on the theology of the Bible and the rationale of the Bible. Now, I will sum up some of the most exciting adventures of the Bible, and you will wonder where the validity truly comes from. Smile. The story of Jesus is the story of my life, the story of your life, the story of the life of every human being who has ever lived or ever will live on the face of the earth. It is the revelation of the divine God nature within me and you for eternity. Enjoy it. Come and join us. So, I accelerate the empowering process that is developing within, and I have a ball. How about you? Do you have a ball in living? If not, maybe you should. I love you. I love you. I love you.